Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We are looking at the windows of heaven in particular. We are looking at the second half of that verse, where God says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. As we go to prayer today for the blessing of God's word, Gina has asked us to remember her son and his wife, and asked you to really remember them throughout the week and the days ahead and pray for them. And Beth Thatcher's asked for prayer, so let's just agree together for these couple of needs as well. Okay, let's pray for Jane too. Father, we are so grateful that we can come to you today, Lord, as we know that you are our provider. Lord, you have provided healing in your atonement by your stripes. We are healed. We thank you, Lord, for that provision. Lord, we take those stripes today and we apply it to Bev and to Jane. Lord, we ask that you would touch them physically today, Lord, that you would be to them what they need today, and that is a healer, the great physician. Touch them, Lord. And we pray for Gina's son and his wife, Lord, and not going into details, Lord, you know the situation. Lord, you are aware of all things. Lord, they have some real needs in their lives. Lord, needs individually, needs as a couple. We ask, Lord, that you would be Jehovah Jireh to them, Lord, that you would provide that which they need in their lives. We pray, Lord, that they would soften their hearts. Lord, that they would be drawn to you, that you would be able to speak to them. Lord, open up their ears, open up their heart. Lord, that they might hear what your Spirit would say to them. And Lord, that they would follow your direction, receiving your blessing, receiving your life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are windows over individuals. There are windows over churches. There are windows over entire nations. We want to be able to reach up and unlock those windows so that we can have all that God has for us. And the Scripture promises that if we do what we are supposed to do, then God will open those windows and pour out a blessing. There will be so much blessing coming into your life that you can't make room for everything. That's the place we want to get to in our Christian life. Now, you have to understand that the thief comes to try to lock that window down and keep it closed. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That is his mission in life. That is his mission for you. He wants to come and kill and steal and destroy the blessings that God wants to give you. But Jesus, on the other hand, has come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Right, he has come to give you the abundant life. Now, there are some things in your life that he wants to give you, that he wants to pour out, and those things are hindered. They are hindered by the things that we think. They're hindered by the attitudes that we have. They're hindered simply because we don't know how to receive them. And so I want to go through this series, and we are going to unlock some windows, open some windows, and let God's blessing flow. We talked about behind those windows in heaven, there are treasures. And we have nailed those treasures down into five categories. Today we are going to look at the first of those categories. We are going to look at God's provision, the provision of God. Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, please? Way back to the book of beginnings, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. The Scripture says, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen," or "it shall be provided." I want you to understand the context this morning. Abraham is in a place where God is testing him with something that is a real test. He is tested with his prized possession, his only son. He is tested with the provision that God has already given him. Isaac was a miracle son born to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. This is a blessing that could not have happened without the miracle working power of God. Abraham loves this son, this promised son of his. And one day God says to him, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to take him up onto a mountain and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. And Abraham was willing to do that. He took his son, they went on a 3-day journey. They gathered the logs for the fire. They built an altar. Abraham takes his son Isaac and places him on the altar. The New Testament writer tells us that Abraham was willing to take his son. He believed that God would bring him back to life again. He believed that God would resurrect him. And so Abraham, I don't know if you can just try to think of the emotions that must have went through his mind and his heart that day. As his son lays upon the altar. And in his heart, he doesn't want to hold anything back from God. And so he takes the knife. He raises the knife over his son. And just about the time he's ready to bring it down and let it go, God says, stop. Now I know, Abraham, that you have not withheld anything from me. And he said, I want you to look over that way. And Abraham looks over there, and there is a ram caught in the thicket. And God says, Abraham, go and get that ram and offer him on this altar in the place of your son. But here's the thing. God provided exactly what Abraham needed in the way of provision for this time in his life. And this is a very significant principle in God giving to you is for God to know that he can trust you with what he gives you. That at any moment he could ask you to give back to him that which he has given you. Are you willing to lay that thing upon the altar and offer it back to God as a means of sacrifice? Are we able to open up and let go? Are we able to place back on the altar and dedicate and give back to God? You know, this is the story where the idea of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, comes from. Let me define these terms for you this morning, Jehovah Jireh. And by the way, God can be Jehovah Jireh to you this morning. The word Jehovah means, I will be all that is necessary as the need arises. I will be all that is necessary as the need arises. As the needs arise in your life, I will be your source. I will be all that is necessary. And Jireh means I will see ahead of time and provide what is needed. I will see in advance. I will see ahead of time because I know what you have need of, and I will begin the process of preparation and provision ahead of time. I will be all that is necessary in your life as the need arises, and I will prepare in advance for that time. Every time that comes up, I will do whatever is necessary to meet that need. I am your source. I am the God who has windows over your life. And I am the God who has the provision for your life behind those windows. And when you come to these times in your life, when you need me, when you need provision, I will open the windows of heaven and I will provide exactly what you need at that time. And so he's saying to Abraham, you don't have to worry. You don't have to have anxious worry about where you're going because I will lead you. You don't have to worry about where you live. I will provide the land that you need. I will provide the children that you need. I will provide the protection that you need. God was teaching Abraham that he would be all that was necessary to meet the needs as they would arise in his life. Why? Because I'm Jireh. I see in advance and I prepare ahead of time. I can see what you are going to face and prepare a provision for you when you get there. How great is that, that we have a God that is working for us even while we are asleep? How great is that, that we have a God that knows your needs tomorrow and next week and next month and next year, all the way down to the end of your life. God already knows what you have need, and he's already making provision. So when you get there, he can open up the windows of heaven over your life and pour out that blessing that you need for that time. He wants to be Jehovah Jireh. He wants to be that to every single one of you this morning. How great is it that when you are young, God is working things out for when you are middle-aged or older. God prepares everything that you need for your journey in life, and he has it in store. It's already there. It's already stored up. It's already behind that window in heaven. It's just waiting till you get there. It's in store. It's reserved. It's got your name on it. He's ready to give it the moment you need it. Listen, that's why it's so important that you walk in the will of God. It is vitally important that you walk in the will of God. That's why it's so important that you be led by the Spirit and that you have an open heart and an open mind. It's very important that you never stoop to manipulation or lying or cheating or any other carnal means of getting what you want. Because if you do, you might get what you want, but you'll miss out on the great blessing of God. I've seen people get to places in their lives and they need provision and they panic. And so they try in their own flesh to meet that need, and it just doesn't work out. I've seen people who have married the wrong person because they started to panic. I've seen people change jobs because they've started and lose jobs because they've started to panic. They weren't allowing the Lord to provide. That's why it's so dangerous. Anybody know a good definition of iniquity? Iniquity is asserting my will over the will of God. It is so important that we never assert our will over the will of God. It's so important that we never commit iniquity, because if we have it our way, God cannot do things his way. And let me tell you, his way is so much better than our way. The word provision simply means to see ahead and prepare in advance and to make any and all preparations for the challenges ahead. And you know what? You need to be to start praying these kinds of prayers. You need to start using names like Jehovah Jireh. You need to use words like provision and God that you have promised to provide. He will see ahead of time. He will make all the provisions for the needs in your life. He will prepare whatever is necessary to provide for you in the challenges that you will face. Now, my heart is to have the windows open over me and to have God's provision in my life and in my heart. But I'm also, as your pastor, deeply committed to this, to have the windows of God open over your life, to help you have the kind of life that God wants you to have the abundant life, to have the full life, that you could all get to the point where you say, God, I don't know if there's room enough for any more blessing in my life. So let's take a look at some of the people that God provided for in the Scripture. Just to build your faith this morning, but also to help us, though, unlock any windows that might be open, because there are certain conditions that need to be met in order for the windows to be open. The first guy, Abraham, we've talked about him. We've already referred to him as God provided for him during a time of testing. God might test you to see if you will pry a window open, force that window open at any cost, or let God open it. God tested Abraham, but he provided for him. Another person we want to look at today is Isaac. God provided for Isaac during a time of famine. There was no natural way to Isaac to provide for himself. This story is found in Genesis chapter 26. It says there that Isaac sowed and reaped in the same year. He's a man of faith. He sowed in the face of adversity. He sowed in the face of famine. He sowed his seed when he could have kept it like everybody else was doing. In fact, I'm sure there were people that were saying, Isaac, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You don't sow your seed in a famine year. You might need that seed to live on. Don't sow that in these kinds of conditions. In the natural, you wouldn't sow during a time of famine, but he had a principle working for him in a time of faith. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 12. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 12 says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." God blessed him. He began to prosper. He was increasing. How many of you would be open to God blessing, prospering, increasing, growing you? You know, that would be great if the story ended there, but that's not all there is to the story. Listen to the rest of verse 13. "And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." Isaac became great. It means that he increased more. He prospered more. You know, some people prosper, but they don't go to the second level. They don't continue to prosper. Why? Because they begin to prosper. God begins to bless them. And then through this increase, their heart goes wrong. And as they're prospering, they start to stoop to the wrong principles. And they do something that actually closes the window of blessing over their life. They do something that actually turns off and stops the flow. Not Isaac. He was great. He continued to be great. And then he was very great. He increased. He continued to increase. And then there was the third level. He increased very much. He began to prosper. Then he became, he prospered more. And eventually he became very prosperous. He went through all of these levels without changing his heart. And I believe that God blessed us. And one of those, in that blessing, there is a little test. How are we going to handle this blessing? Are we going to respond to this blessing in the right way? Are we going to respond in a godly way? Are we going to remain humble, or are we going to let our hearts be lifted up with pride? And we begin to think, look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. As a prophecy this morning, it's because of God, not because of us. It's all because of God. And the minute you lose that, that's when you begin to turn off the blessing of God in your life. And so God wants to grow you. He wants to grow you more, and he wants to grow you to a very great extent. He wants you to prosper in your body, soul, and spirit. He wants to bless you, but listen, he wants to bless you so that you can be a channel of blessing to others. There are many ways that God can bring prosperity into your life, but you have to have a spirit of sowing, which is what Isaac did. You have to have a spirit of sowing, the ability to release what God brings in. Then there's Joseph. This is a very interesting way in which the Lord provides. The Lord provided for Joseph and his family by divine placement. You know the story of Joseph. He was a man that was misused, even tortured by his family. The very people that should have surrounded him with love and protection sold him into slavery when he was only 17 years old. He gets down into Egypt. He's misused there. He goes from the pit to the prison to worse. For 13 years, everything in Joseph's life seems to go wrong. Every step is a step backwards. But there comes a day when God says, "Joseph, I'm going to bless you. I am going to bless you because I see the integrity of your life. I'm going to bless you because I see your heart. I'm going to bless you because I have purposes for you." And God did bless him. And the man who had nothing suddenly was in charge of all of Egypt's treasures. And then one day, his brothers show up. What would Joseph do? What would you do? What would I do? I'd like to get even in some way. But not Joseph. You know, Joseph understood that all that he went through was so that he could be a blessing for someone else. He told his brothers that everything that happened to them was for their good. God has sent me here to keep you and your family alive. If I prosper, it's not just for me to go out and build bigger and greater barns. And the Bible tells us that the man who builds bigger and better barns just for himself is a fool. Now, that's harsh language, but it's true. Listen to what Jesus, he spoke a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, this man didn't realize that he was being blessed so that he could bless others. Joseph realized that. Joseph understood this. And in Genesis 45 and verse 11, he says, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. He says, there will I bless you. There is a certain place that you need to come to. You need to go home. You need to get the rest of your families. You need to get my father, and you need to come. And in this place, I will take care of you. I will nourish you, and you will be blessed. There is a place in our lives. There's a place where God will bless you, provide for you, and not let you lack in anything that you need. There is a place. I believe that there is something significant about this. God has a place to provide for his people. God has a particular set of windows that are marked out for you, and those windows are in a certain place. That's why you need to be very careful as you move through life that you don't make changes too quickly, that you get yourself in the wrong place. I've seen people be blessed over here, move over here, and not have the same blessing. I've seen people leave churches that they never should have left. There was a church that they were being blessed in. They were growing spiritually. They were being fed. They went over somewhere else, and they just withered and dried up. I've seen people change jobs because it looked more attractive over here, maybe more money or something. And then they go and they change those jobs, and they find out that the blessing of God isn't on their life here like it was on there. You need to be careful when you make moves, that you're moving according to the will of God, and that you are changed because God has led you in that change. There is a place where you are need to be at, where you can be blessed, and you need to make sure that you stay in those churches, those jobs, those ministries. You need to be sure that that's where God has you in life. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 21, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly to them. Next group of people that God blessed was Israel. God provided for Israel when nobody else could. God rained down miracle bread, gave them miracle water. I learned something last Wednesday night. My father-in-law pointed out, do you know that the rock that God provided water in the wilderness from followed them? Yeah, if you read there, it's in 1st or 2nd Corinthians, I don't remember. But the rock followed them, giving them water. I mean, that's not a miracle. What is? I never seen a rock move yet. Gave water. Water from a rock. See, when nobody else could meet their needs, God met their need. God can provide for you when nobody else can. When the windows are open in your life, you will experience what other people won't experience. You might not have any difference in ability. Everything else being equal, one difference. God's windows are open over you. Now, according to the quartermaster general in the army, it is reported that Moses would have had to have 1,500 tons of food each day. Do you know that to bring that much food each day, two freight trains, each at least a mile long, would be required? Two freight trains a mile long just to bring food. Besides, they're out in the desert. So they would have to have firewood to be used in their cooking. That would take 4,000 tons of wood and a few more freight trains, each a mile long, just for one day. And just think, they were 40 years in transit. And oh yes, they would have to have water. If they only had enough water to drink and wash a few dishes, it would take 11 million gallons each day, and a freight train with tank cars 1,800 miles long just to bring water. And another thing, they had to get across the Red Sea at night. Now, if they went on a narrow path, double file, the line would be 800 miles long and would require 35 days and nights to get through. So there had to be a space in the Red Sea 3 miles wide so that they could walk 5,000 abreast to get over in one night. Can we picture that? We picture the Red Sea. Don't we just picture this narrow little path that they're walking through? But then there's another problem. Each time they camped at the end of the day, a campground two-thirds the size of Rhode Island was required. A total of 750 square miles long. That much space just for camping. Now, do you think Moses figured all of that out before he left Egypt? I don't think he did, but he did believe God. Amen. You see, he believed in God, and God took care of those things for him. Now, let me ask you, if God can take care of the Israelites in the wilderness to that magnitude and that extent, don't you think he can take care of you? I know you got some very big and very real problems, but are they problems compared to that? Could I suggest to you that nothing is too big for Jehovah Jireh? He's your provider. Now, Moses didn't stop and think about all those problems that he would face, but God knew ahead of time. God knew what they would need, and he was prepared. And when they got there, he opened literally the windows of heaven to pour out manna and quail to provide food for them to eat. He provided water for them to drink. He provided for all their needs. Another person that we want to look at to build your faith in the provision of God is the widow woman in 1 Kings chapter 17. It's a story about God providing for a widow and her son. It's a sad story and an awesome story at the same time. Prophet comes in when she's picking up sticks to build a fire. She has a little flour and a little oil, just enough to make a little cake for her and her son. The plan is to eat this cake and then die. That's all they had. There's a famine in the land. The only hope that they had was for one last little meal. Then comes this prophet and asks for a drink of water. She goes to get the water and he says, "And by the way, that little flour in your hand, could you put a little oil with it and make me a cake?" "Sir, you don't understand. This is all that I have. My plan is just to make this for my son and I. We're going to eat it and we're going to die." Prophet says, "Is that right?" "Yeah, all I have is this little cake and a little bit of oil, or a little bit of oil, a little flour, a little oil. I'm going to make the cake for my son and I, and we're going to die." Prophet says, "I'll tell you what. Before you do that, would you go make me a cake first? Bake me a cake first. I just told you, this is all that I have. If I make this, there's not going to be anything left for my son and I." But there's something in the prophet's voice, something about the way he spoke, some kind of authority that just seemed to say, "Trust me." So she did. She baked it. She brought it to the prophet. Now, what a horrible feeling that prophet would have had in the natural. "I hope this is God. I hope this is God. I hope this is God." I mean, can you imagine taking the last meal of a widow woman and her son who is going to die, and you say, "Let me eat first"? You would have to be a total jerk, or you would have to know something about God. So the widow woman brings the cake to him. She says, "Here you go. I want to bless you because I know that you are a prophet." The prophet says, "Lady, you're not going to die. Your flour will never run out. Your cruse of oil will never fail. It will last through this whole famine. The Lord will bless you and take care of you like nobody else can. My word to you this morning is that with God, your flour doesn't have to run out. The cruse of oil doesn't have to fail, never run dry. Why? Because God is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. God is your provider. It's not your boss. It's not the government. It's not the rich aunt. It's not the rich uncle. It's not this or it's not that. It's none of those things. God can use those things. God can use those people. But your real provider is God. Your real provider is Jehovah Jireh. And when you know that, you live differently. Like Abraham, you have to be trusted in order to give back, in order to be able to give back. Like Isaac, you have to sow in a time of famine. Like Joseph, you have to understand that you have been blessed so that you can bless others. Like Moses, you have to have faith. You have to believe in God. Like the widow woman, you have to give before you are given to. You have to give. Sometimes you have to give all of it before God opens up the windows of heaven and pours out those floodgates. That's the way to prosperity. There is the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs says it makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Packers aren't playing today, so we can keep going, right? Vikings are playing? Oh. One more. We'll just look at one more. David. God provided for David in a time of discouragement. David had been kicked off the throne by his own son. Son by the name of Absalom. Nobody uses that name. I've never dedicated a child by the name of Absalom. No parent has ever come to me and said, "Would you dedicate little Absalom, my little disloyal, deceitful child?" So Absalom has David off his throne, and David is running for his life. He has a group of dedicated soldiers with them, and David is trying to keep them alive and save their families. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, at the end of that chapter, in chapter 19, there's a man there, interesting, by the name of Barzillai. He and a couple of guys loaded up their camels with all kinds of provisions for David and these men and their families. At a time when David was hungry and thirsty and fearing for his life, in comes these guys led by an 80-year-old man. You know what? Your work is never done. Never. I don't care if you're 80, 90, 100. God can still use you. I know sometimes elderly people get discouraged because they feel that God can't use them. Here's an 80-year-old guy going through the desert bringing provision to David and his men. And they come and they feed them in abundance. They bring all kinds of food. We won't take the time to read it, but they brought cheeses and nuts and all kinds of food, so much so that when David returned to the throne, he invited this guy to come and live in the palace. He invited him to come and sit at his table and dine with him, and the guy said, "No, that's okay, really. I don't need that. I'm fine out here living the way I am." And later, though, David said, to show kindness to his sons and let them eat at my table. And one of the last things David did was to say to Solomon, "Don't you dare to forget Barzillai and his sons." 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 7, he says, "But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." You know what this meant, to eat at the king's table? It meant to have abundance. It meant to have the best of food. They were able to sit at the table with the king. They could have had anything that they wanted to have. They provided for David, and God turned the whole thing around and provided for them. And not just for this one man, but for his whole family and for his sons and their descendants. You know what? God blesses you so that you can bless others when they are in the wilderness. That's what he blesses you. God provides for you so that you can provide for others. And my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. My God is Jehovah Jireh. My God is able to see and prepare in advance for what I need. My God has windows that are over my life that he wants to open up and pour me out a blessing, so much so that there is not room enough to receive it. My God cares for my need. My God cares for the sparrows, and if there cannot be a sparrow that fall to the ground without God knowing it, how much more does he care for me? You don't have to worry or even think about what your needs are, because God wants to meet that need. God knows what your need is even before you ask. God knows what your need is going to be tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the day after that, all through your entire life. And right now he is making provision to meet that need. I just want to build your faith. I just want to build your faith so that you can have the windows of heaven open and God could pour out these blessings upon you, that he could be Jehovah Jireh to you. How many of you need to open some of the windows and have God provide abundant provision for you? Could God see your hand? Amen.